Well, good morning.
Morning.
I love that music. It's good, like hype music. I feel like we should all dance a little. It's so good. Happy Father's Day again to all the dads. You're awesome. Yes. So good. Man, worship so good this morning. I tell you, you know, there are times where lyrics stand out. Have you ever had that? And I felt like all morning it was like the music was great and awesome, but the lyrics were just standing out. You delight in showing mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Mary was getting down. I was like, I want to sing it like that. It was so good. It was such a good morning. I was thinking about our time together today, and I was praying last night, and I felt like I just wanted to get up here, and I just wanted to stand in front of all the witnesses of Jesus Christ and say, God is so good. God is so good. I mean, he is so good. He's like amazing. Like, he is like better than you could ever think. Like, as good as you thought he was, he's even better than that. Like, as kind as you ever even sort of imagined him to be, he's even more kind. As a tender-hearted father that you would imagine, like, the perfect tender-hearted dad to be, he's even more tender-hearted. That everything he thinks is good, every thought that God has is good. Every word that God speaks is good. Every discipline that he has for us is good. Do you know all his disciplines are about attacking the things that hinder love? That's what it is. Every time he disciplines, that's what it is. It's not bad. When did we think that disciplining children, we had to be nasty in it? Like we had to get angry. I've been working on that. You stop that now. Right, Rubes? I was thinking about that. When did we equate having to deal with issues and bring correction that we had to do it in a nasty way or in a mean-spirited? You know what I mean? Cranky, like, you out. No, our God isn't like that. He deals with things because he wants us to walk into all that we were created to walk into and be all that we were created to be, because everything he does is good. No, I'm serious. This is so cliche almost. God is so good, guys. Like, I think I could just stand here all morning and just be like, God's so good. And like, we just ask for his revelation to come over and over and over on that until we blow out every other mindset other than that. He is so good. Everything he does. Psalm 34 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's a seeing of it, but there's an experiencing and tasting of his goodness that he has invited us to jump into. How many want a taste of the goodness of God? You already have. You already have. How many want to taste more of his goodness today? Come on, let's just lift up our hands and just say, God, we want to experience who you really are today in all your goodness. Come on, church, just pray out loud. Come on, his church would be a church of prayer. His house would be a house of prayer. We welcome the goodness of God in this house today, and every wrong mindset and every lie of the enemy has to go. Has to go far from this place at the goodness of God, the extreme kindness, the compassion, the tenderness of God would fill the room. Fill the room. I pray for fresh encounter with the heart of God today in these next few minutes that would change the way we do everything. Everything, because we know who you are. Pray for a revelation of God in this house, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So God is revealed through the whole Bible, right? Genesis to Revelation. I heard somebody say once years ago, and it really stuck with me, that it takes the whole Bible to read the Bible. Like every day you have to read the whole Bible. Genesis to Revelation. But no, I'm kidding. It takes the whole Bible to understand the Bible and read him, because there's so much of who God is in the scripture, and you can't just take a little piece here or a little piece here. You got to get it in context with who he is. And really, the whole story is a story of love. The whole story of the Bible from the beginning to the end is the passion of a father for his kids. That's what it is. You can't take anything out of context with that because that's what it is. The desire of a father for an entire earth. That's what it is. It's that. It takes the whole Bible to read the Bible, and we see his passion in the scripture for family. We see his passion in the scripture for relationship, connection, heart connection, not just mental connection, but in here kind of connection with him. And there is no clearer representation of who God really is than in the person of Jesus Christ. You can't find a more clear picture, representation of who the Father is, because Jesus is perfect theology. Amen? I love that line. I heard that some time ago. Jesus is perfect theology. And I heard this quote. They're going to put it on the screen. I read this quote a while back, and it says, whatever you think you know about God that you can't find in the person of Jesus, you have reason to question. Jesus Christ is the fullest and the most precise revelation of the Father and his nature that could ever be made known. Was that on there? Okay, that's all right. I got to read that again. Okay, whatever you think you know about God that you can't find in the person of Jesus, you have reason to question. Whatever idea you have about God that you can't find in Jesus, see in Jesus, you have reason to question, because Jesus Christ is the fullest and the most precise revelation of the Father and his nature that could ever be made known. Everything Jesus did, everything he said, everything that he was the expression of the fullness of God on the earth. Everything. There was never a day that Jesus went off and represented anything other than who his Father really was. Whew! That's some serious vision right there. There was never a day. He didn't like have a cranky day and he just like started punching people because he was ticked off. No, he represented the Father so well all the time. And the beautiful thing is that he calls us now to do the same. He calls us to do the same. John 20:21, it says, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. As a father, the same way the Father sent me, I send you. So we're the sent ones. Say, I'm a sent one. Say it out loud. I'm a sent one. We are the sent ones. And what are we sent to do? We are sent to reveal the Father. Everything that we do is to reveal the Father. Whew. Let that sink in there a little. Everything that you say is to reveal the Father. I got to rewind some words from yesterday. You know what I'm talking about? Like, just me. You all are so holy. Awesome. I mean, for real, I feel like I just saw Ruby's like, yeah, you do, Dad. We had a moment yesterday, and the Lord forgave me. It was awesome. Every parent, can I get a witness from the parents? Okay, good. For real. But what if we live life like everything that I do is to represent the Father? What if every word that comes out of my mouth is to come out to represent, to present who God is to everyone that I speak to? That is good. That will preach to my heart. That is a vision for life. He's saying, in other words, I've shown you who the Father is. Now I want you to show the world in the same way who the Father is. That's what he's saying. He's saying, your mission, show the world who I really am. Show the world who I really am. Show the world who he really is. This is our vision for life. What if we like shaped our days around this? That everywhere I go, whether it's with my wife or whether it's with my kids or whether it's with my friends or whether it's at my job or in the most difficult of situations, I am there to represent the Father. That's why I'm breathing. It's my mission to make him known. My mission is to make him known, not just in church, not just in Christian functions, but in all of the things. In all of the things, no compartmentalizing. He's been breaking us out of that for years, where things are, you know, holy. We're all called to ministry, right? We're all called to walk in the kingdom and bring that kingdom. Wherever we go and whatever we do, we are called to represent who he really, really is. That's why knowing who he is so important. That's why knowing the heart of the Father is so important, because the way that I understand the Father is going to be the way that I present the Father. The way that I know him is the way I'll present him. The way that I interpret scripture. The way that I interpret the bigger picture of scripture will be the way that I interpret the Father to the world. So if I've got an interpretation, which we all have interpretations of him that are wrong, right? I mean, all you have to do is look at 5 years ago in your life and you'll realize how much you've grown, that you had misunderstood some things, right? So we're all growing, right? Has anybody had that experience? Like 5 years ago, I'd say, whoa, I was missing that huge piece. And then I grew in it. And I hope in 5 years or 10 years, oh my gosh, I got another huge chunk of the pie of who he is, because I'm growing in the knowledge of God, and we're growing in who he is so that we can express it on the earth. That's why pursuing the knowledge of God and the nature of God is so huge. That's why we do it, because if we don't know him, if we don't know his nature, we're not going to present him for who he is. And we won't present him here on earth as he is in heaven. And in the same way, if we don't know the promises of God to us, if we don't know what's been made available to us, if we don't know what's been paid for and rightfully ours, then we will present a subpar kingdom to everyone around us. That's why I love how we're breaking into like the realm of the miraculous and miracles, because they're very much a part of the kingdom of God and the experience. It's not just a kingdom of talk, it's a kingdom of power, right? And we're breaking into that. I just realized I have gum in my mouth. I'm so sorry. That's like no-no number one. You do not preach with gum in your mouth. You only sing with gum in your mouth because it helps. Right, Charity? She chews gum every time she leads worship. So I'm not sure what the spit level is going to be today with the gum. Maybe it'll help it calm down. Oh. This is my best friend. He was the best man at my wedding. He's always right there. Let's give Jim a hand. Wow. Jim, you're awesome. Anyways, where was I? Before I digressed to gum chewing. Yeah, bigger piece. Jesus, somewhere in there. Jesus, yeah. Yeah. Power? Okay. We all hear different things. It's funny how somebody can preach a sermon and they walk out and they're like, man, I heard this. I'm like, I didn't hear that at all. Good or bad. But here's the thing. I think oftentimes the confusion. Now I got serious. The confusion in the body of Christ about who God is, even just about his goodness. Or what kind of do we live in a mercy or judgment time? The confusion about the extreme goodness of God in the body of Christ has created an even greater confusion in the world around us. I mean, it really has. When the church is confused about who God is, then the world is really confused about who God is, right? When the church is kind of back and forth and sending mixed messages, then the world gets mixed messages, and then they're totally screwed up and they totally don't want God because they say those people don't even know who he is. And so I just, my heart today is this, you know, you don't have to be around long to see and hear that the body of Christ presents very, very different pictures of who God is. And today I feel his heart, I feel his passion, I feel his desire for us to know him even more so we can make him known on the earth. How many want to know him more? I do. So we're going to spend a bunch of time today in Luke chapter 9, and there are three little interactions that Jesus has with his disciples as he teaches them and reveals the nature of his Father. And they're really kind of quick, and then I'm gonna move on from them. But Luke chapter 9, verse 46, it says, an argument arose among the disciples as to which of them was the greatest. And yeah, that's exactly what I do. I laugh when I read that. I'm like, here, these guys are with the greatest, and they're arguing about which one of them is the greatest. Right? It's like, it's so like ridiculous. Be like if all of us on staff were like, hey, I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. Like that'd be so ridiculous. I mean, Aaron does that sometimes, but I mean, you know, it's just so ridiculous. He doesn't. I'm joking. I don't even need to clarify that, right? So it makes me laugh. Here are the guys that are with the greatest and they're arguing over who is the greatest. It says, verse 47, but Jesus, knowing the reasoning of their hearts, took a child and put him by his side and said to them, whoever receives this child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all is the one who's great. Whew. That probably made him feel a little foolish, right? But in Jesus's day, parents loved children, but children held little status. More so than today, children were powerless. They were actually utterly dependent on their parents. It was like they were more seen than heard in that time. How many? No, we could maybe use that for a couple hours here and there. The kids aren't here. Sorry, Rubes. She wasn't paying attention anyways. But in this, Christy shook her head like, don't do that. Yeah, okay. In this, though, Jesus is showing the nature of God. He's showing that the one who is utterly dependent on God is the greatest. Not the one who is powerful and up in front on a stage in the lights with the microphone. The one that is great is the one who is utterly dependent on the Father. That greatness in the kingdom, he's like shaping culture here. Greatness in the kingdom is actually counterculture. It was counterculture then. It's certainly counterculture now. Greatness in the kingdom, because it's an upside down kingdom, right? It's an upside down kingdom compared to ours here on earth, where the least is greatest and the last is first, where if you want to be great, you go low. You go low. Jesus is shaping culture here and he's revealing the Father. We're going to continue on verse 49. It says, and John says, he says, it just jumps to a different issue. I love the randomness of these three. Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name. I mean, that's kind of how I hear it. We saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he does not follow with us. Sounded like a teenager. But Jesus said to him, do not stop him, for the one who is not against you is for you. How many know that there are many different parts of the body of Christ? And just because another part of the body isn't just like you, or they do some things a little different, or they don't, quote, follow with us, we are not here to criticize or stop. We're not here to criticize or stop. We aren't the only club in town, right? Right? Jesus is here. He's saying, I want you to refuse that spirit of competition. I want you to refuse that spirit of insecurity. I want you to refuse it. That's why, church, we should rejoice when other places, other churches are doing awesome things. Even if they are Baptist or Presbyterian or Methodist or Catholic. Like, just because they don't worship for an hour every Sunday doesn't make them less than. I always laugh when people come up to me. They're like, oh, they only worship for like 10 minutes over there, thinking I'm going to be like, oh my God. You know, like, awesome. If they're just worshiping for 10 minutes, they're worshiping, and that's what they're called to do in that place. We don't have a form here. Sometimes I think we should worship shorter, especially when I'm leading. But the point is that we don't criticize. And we don't like say, oh, you're not doing it like us or whatever. He's like, if they're not against you, they're for you. What would happen if the church in Springfield just got that? I mean, when God's moving somewhere else or doing something else, we should celebrate and join them. I mean, don't go and join their church necessarily. We want you here. But I mean, you know what I mean? Support. Go help. Vicky's like, don't lose my volunteers here, right? Yeah. So that was good. Who are we to throw a word of criticism or caution to stop ministry, right? I mean, wouldn't it just be nice to see someone casting out a demon in town? Go for it. For the one who is not against you is for you. Jesus is remember, he's the perfect representation of the Father. He's breaking down that superiority error that the disciples are dabbling in. And I believe that he continues to do it in us too. We should bless every believer, every church that preaches the gospel and the truth of Jesus, whether they're going for it in the prophetic or worship or the gifts or any of it. We are here to bless and say, yeah. We should say it together. Yeah, yeah. The older I get, and I'm getting so old, I say that like every time I preach. There's just this less and less of a desire to throw stones at anybody about anything or to criticize. You know, in my 20s, I'd been like, oh, I can't believe they do it like that. They should do it like us. Now at 41, bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless the places that are moving in him. When God's moving and doing stuff, bless him, bless him, bless him. I love this next one, verse 51, which I'm really feeling for us today. It says, Jesus sent messengers ahead of him. And it says, they entered a Samaritan village to make preparations for Jesus. And it says, verse 53, it says, but the people did not receive him because they learned that his destination was Jerusalem. Meaning that he wasn't going to stay for an extended time. It says he had his face set on Jerusalem, so that's where he was going. And he was just going to pass through that Samaritan village. And it says they refused him hospitality. In verse 54, it says the disciples, James and John, they saw this. And they said to Jesus, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? John, like the beloved, right? I mean, this is like, these guys are walking with Jesus. They refuse hospitality. Master, the message reads it like this. Master, do you want us to call a bolt of lightning down of the sky and incinerate them? Like for real. Has anyone ever tried that approach? Like how many know that offense and rejection can bring out the worst in people? And this is ridiculous. I feel like these three stories are kind of ridiculous, honestly. So you get this. The Samaritans are offended that Jesus has his eyes set on going to Jerusalem. So the disciples, they take up this offense and they are actually asking Jesus if they should murder a whole village. And they're like seriously asking that because the town wouldn't show hospitality. You gotta at least love that they believe that they could do it. I mean, they're like growing in the power thing, you know? They just gotta learn what the power's for, right? So when I pass through your house, you better say, yeah, come on. Or it just might come on fire. I'm just kidding. I love how Jesus responds. It's so powerful how he responds. In the ESV, it says, Jesus turned and rebuked the disciples, and they went on to another village. The message says it like this. Jesus turned to them and said, of course not. I kind of connect with that. Of course not. I don't know. He might have said, of course not. He might have said, of course not. I don't know how Jesus said it, but I kind of see him. I mean, we have to have a little imagination here, right? I just feel like he'd just been like, of course not. Has Jesus ever said that to you? Of course not. He said it to me like that. Of course not, Josh. That's ridiculous. I love what the New King James Version says, though. It says, Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you're of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And right there, Jesus represents the nature of his Father and the nature of his mission, that he didn't come to destroy, he came to save. That'll preach. I'm hoping it is. I think sometimes we have to be very careful, especially in our day, that we don't take up offenses for Jesus that he doesn't have. I think honestly in the Midwest, especially. I think honestly in Missouri and in the Bible Belt, we have to be careful that we are not carrying offenses that Jesus does not have. Because we can be offended by things that he isn't offended by. And then we carry offense, and then we operate in a wrong spirit. And we start bringing a spirit that isn't the spirit of our Father, right? I think we have to be really careful. And I think sometimes we see it all over, you know, it's in obvious forms, it's in more subtle forms, but we think we're doing something for him, but he's actually rebuking us saying, kids, do you not know what manner of spirit you're of? I didn't come to destroy people, I came to save them. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of God, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek and to save the lost, not to destroy them. Because this is the nature of our Father. If that Samaritan village had known how good he was, they would have been lined up out on the streets like a parade just to have him walk through and say, bless you. They'd say, bless me. I just had that little picture of like, if they had known the goodness of God, they would have stood there literally on the curb. I don't know if they had cement curbs then or not, but they didn't know. They're like, of course not. They would have stood there and they would have walked by and they would have been like, oh, just to get a glimpse of Jesus. But they didn't know. They didn't know the goodness of God. They didn't know that just a second of him passing through would have been so much awesome that would have come to their town and it would have been so life-changing. But they didn't know. But even in their rejecting Jesus, he reminds the disciples that he came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Church, when people reject Jesus, when segments of society reject Jesus and reject God, we don't call down fire and judgment on them. Now, most of you in the room would be like, oh, I'd never do that. But we do it in some of our language. We don't call down judgment and fire on them. We stand in the gap and we call for mercy. That's what we do. Mercy triumphs over judgment because there's going to be a judgment day. Don't think I don't believe that. There will be a judgment day, but today is the day of mercy. I feel like we should have a shout of amen on that. This is where the confusion comes. When you don't understand the day we live in, we are living in a day of extreme mercy, that we present the mercy and the kindness of God, and it leads to repentance. Do I mean that sin is okay? Of course not. But me showing compassion and love and kindness to people that are lost does not make me agree with what they do that's wrong. Church, we got to get in agreement on this because the city will never come to him. They will never come to him. And I am not spending my life in Springfield, Missouri, living like that. With the city not coming, I want to move to like California where it's beautiful on the ocean if it's going to be like that. I want to be in a community. Of course, I can't afford that. I want to be in a community. Does anyone have any money? I want to be in a community of people that get the clarity on this. This isn't soft on sin. No, hear me. This is not soft on sin. This is not less, this is not greasy grace. This is us standing in a place of righteousness, but why do we expect the world to act like the church? I do not understand it. I had somebody, I don't mean any disrespect by this, you'll never know who it was. Somebody said, you know, like, I don't understand why you tell everybody you go to Starbucks all the time. I go to Starbucks because there's tons of people that don't know Jesus there. Because of what Starbucks represents. Do you know what I'm saying? Like all the things that they stand for. I go there because if I go to Kingdom, all the guys that run Kingdom go to this church. If I go to Hebrews, all of those people know Jesus too. But you know what? East Sunshine Starbucks, I'm pretty sure there's quite a few that do not know Jesus there. And I'm trying to be a light because I'm around church people all the time. That is why I go. That is why I go. And if we want to go down that line, then you better get rid of your iPhone. You better get rid of your Apple computer because you know what they represent. Oh my gosh, I totally, whoa. I just did what Jesus said not to do. What I'm preaching against, I just did. Woo! Jesus. I am not calling down fire. Love. Love. I just hate religion. I hate it. 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 I hate it so much. We gotta get a bigger vision. We gotta get a bigger vision. We gotta get a bigger vision of the big heart of God. May we never operate in the wrong spirit, especially me. When the disciples asked if they should call down fire from heaven on these people, they were modeling actually after Elijah in the Old Testament. You remember? And that was perfectly fine to do in Elijah's day, but it's not okay in Jesus' day. Because the action would have undermined the revelation of who the Father actually is and who Jesus was trying to reveal. Do you understand this? So it wasn't wrong for Elijah. It's wrong now in Jesus' day. These people are going to teach and stuff. They're not offended, I don't think. Hopefully. Because now Jesus is on the scene and he's bringing a clear representation of who the Father is. Right? Because Jesus says, love your enemies. He says, pray for those who persecute you now, right? He says what, you know, he says in Matthew 5, he says, love your enemies, let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. I love this in the message. I think it's going to be on the screen. When somebody gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer, for then you're working out your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best. The sun to warm and the rain to nourish to everyone. Can we say everyone? Everyone. 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 The guy who robs the liquor store at night. The pole dancer on Glenstone. I'm not kidding you. The groups that are out in the street militantly promoting their agenda that is anti-Christ. Everyone. Say everyone. Everyone. Sun to warm, the rain to nourish, to everyone regardless, the good, the bad, the nice, and the nasty. Even the nasty people. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. Verse 48, in a word, what I'm saying is grow up. You're kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others, the way that God lives towards you. Church, we don't curse and throw stones or call down fire from heaven on those who reject Jesus. If we do that, we're actually in opposition to our mission. And we're operating in a lesser than knowledge of who our Father is. We're to be arms wide open, people. We're here to represent the extreme goodness and kindness of God, the salvation of God, to stand in the gap and call the earth to the good news of Jesus. Do you believe that? That's what we're here to do. We're here to call the earth to the good news of Jesus and to call them to all that's been made available. I tell you what, when the kindness and the goodness of God is actually seen through the church, the people will come. They are going to come. The pent-up desire that God has, that is not just a like, that is like the love of God is pent up for this place. I think God's love gets pent up even more in seriously religious places because so many people are robbed from the depth of his kindness and his goodness. I think that's part of why there's such a pent-up desire here, is that his name would be known in a greater, truer way. His name is here. He's saying, I want my name to really be known, and it is going to take an act of the Spirit to release this. As the Father sends me, I send you, not to destroy, but to save. This is the heart of our Father. What's interesting in all of these three little interactions that Jesus has with his disciples is that Jesus doesn't bench the disciples. He doesn't put them on a ministry break. I mean, if Pastor Aaron did all three of those things in a row, I kind of think he needs a little break. I'm picking on you. It's because I love you. It was a joke. Nobody laughed. Then you laugh when it's not a joke, but you know what I'm saying? If he had come in and he was arguing about him being the greatest, and then he was like, oh man, these people need to stop. We got to stop this ministry over here. And then he was like, you know what? Those people are rejecting us. We're calling down fire from heaven. I'd be like, dude, you need like time out. Yes, time out. You need a little break, buddy. But Jesus seems to hardly be concerned. And even in a few verses later in the next chapter, in chapter 10, he calls the 72 and he sends them out to, and he says, go and heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of heaven is near. I mean, Jesus, I'm thinking as I read that, don't you think we need to put the brakes on here a little bit and put these people in some kind of intensive training or some kind of ministry school? Because I don't know what they're going to do out there. Right? Like, oh, I mean, I do ministry team orientation, and I try and create a safe place here at Hope, but, I mean, we cannot be having people call down fire from heaven. Do you get what I'm saying? No. Jesus moves on, and he doesn't talk about it again. Because you know what? Jesus believes in people. Jesus believes in empowering people. He believes in who they really are. He believes in who they're going to become. He believes that they're treasure. And he believes that he's worthy of laying down his life for them and saying, just go do this stuff. I know. I kind of do everything around here in the opposite way. Because I want to make everything so safe and everything. But you know what? He wasn't that way. We should create safe places. I'm going to continue we continue, all of us on staff, to make safe places for kids and for adults and for training and all that stuff. But the point of this is that Jesus doesn't care, apparently, about the big little ridiculous mess-ups. He doesn't. He cares about people and he believes in them. And I just want to declare to you on this Father's Day that you need to know that your Father believes in you too. That he believes in you and he trusts you in your little ridiculous mess ups. And he trusts you to keep going because he knows what he made in you. He knows of the gold that is in you. And no matter what your mess up is, no matter what you've done, no matter how ridiculous the things that you've done, he believes in you and he loves the real you. That's the truth. What if kingdom people more and more saw every person as treasure and gold? I say that all the time, but I really believe it's a cultural thing we have to walk into. What if we saw people as gold, even in the midst of their mess ups, right in the middle of their mess up, right in the middle of their sin or their rebellion? What if we saw them in the middle of their ridiculousness? I can't talk today, but that there's treasure, that there's gold in them. Yeah, you messed up. Okay, let's deal with it. Talk about it. There's times for correction and redirection and fathering. I do that all the time. At home with my kids and my wife. She corrects me actually most of the time. That's a joke. Now I've offended all the women in the room. I'm just kidding. She says I should be more funny, but I can't plan funny. And then when I do funny, it's not funny. So back to Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying on this? We correct. We discipline. We father. We don't have to get nasty about it. I once had a pastor that when he'd get mad at the staff, he'd bang on the table and yell in staff meetings. I was like, whoa, that's not where I'm going. You know? He got saved later. It was awesome. But he did, really, I think. And I've worked with many pastors. It wasn't Pastor Gary. Oh, gosh, I got to wrap this up here. Tyler, I need your help. Where are you? Come early. The point of what I'm saying is that Jesus always gets to the heart of the matter, and I want to get to the heart of the matter too with people, right? I want to see to the heart of the matter. I want to be able to see you. I want to see my family. I want to see my wife at the heart of the matter. I don't want to get hung up on what isn't. I want to dig for what is. Just like Jesus did in all of these examples, they seem so ridiculous. And there's a part of me that feels like they're so ridiculous and so obvious that they clearly exemplify what I might say is immaturity. And yet Jesus is still saying, hey, go out and preach the good news. Heal the sick. Preach the kingdom. And he's saying, go do it. Go do it. Go do it. Go do it. And the beautiful thing is that what Jesus calls us to do, he also empowers us to do through the Spirit. What he calls us to do, he empowers us through the Spirit. Remember, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. And being a witness of Jesus is certainly about being like him in all the things we've talked about today, in love and purity and in his great mercy and goodness and kindness and laying down his life. But being like Jesus, being a witness of Jesus, is absolutely equally as much about doing powerful things with him. Signs and wonders, miracles, setting the captive free. That's equally a part of it. Jesus represented the nature of God every time he healed, every time he delivered, every time he cast out a demonic spirit, every time he raised the dead, every time he set the captive free, he was releasing who his Father was. For this was the Son of God manifest to destroy the works of darkness. And we could say now that as Jesus, the Father sent Jesus, he sends us. For this were you manifest. I don't think that's too much of a stretch. For this, this is why you were manifest, to destroy the works of darkness. Little old you. Little old me. Little old doing ridiculous things occasionally and growing up and maturing. Right in the middle of your maturing, you were called to do powerful things. I'm sweating so bad. This must be good. It's like Holy Ghost sweat. Let's all stand together, okay? We're going to pray. And I really believe the Lord wants to impart something right now. How many want to be the expression of God on the earth? I want to see your hands. How many want to literally bring life and healing and the very nature of his heart? Then come on, just lift your hands and let's just begin to pray out. Just begin to pray out loud. Just say, yes, God, I want to be your expression. I want to be your expression on the earth. I want to be your heart on the earth. Come on, if you pray in tongues right now. It's okay. If you pray in English, just start praying out in English. Come on, let's just begin to fill the room with prayer. Yeah, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you because he has anointed you to preach good news. Every one of you, come on now, every one of you was anointed to preach good news. Good news. Good news. Good news. Good news. Sent you to break to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those that are bound. In Jesus' name, this is what you will do. This is what you will do. Come on, just pray out loud. We're going to do this for a few minutes. Come on, the Lord is just here. Holy Spirit, you're here. Holy Spirit, you're in this room. Fresh anointing, fresh anointing, fresh anointing. A fresh anointing, a fresh anointing, a fresh anointing to bring the good news, a fresh anointing to break off addictions, a fresh anointing to bind up the brokenhearted, a fresh anointing, a fresh anointing, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, fresh anointing, a fresh anointing, a fresh anointing all over this place. Yeah. I declare over you today, you will not be limited by what you aren't, but you will walk into every promise that's been made available to you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want us just to pray for each other before we go today. So just put your hand on a shoulder or somewhere appropriate. And I just want us to just pray over the person next to you. Find out what their name is, actually. If you don't know their name, find out their name. And I want you to pray by name today that there would be a greater release, that there would be a fresh anointing, just like Isaiah prophesied, just like Jesus said in Luke 4, a fresh anointing to bring good news. Come on, let's just do it. This week, a fresh anointing to bring good news. A fresh anointing to bring good news. Maybe you're going to bring good news to your family and to your home. Maybe you're going to bring good news to your spouse or your girlfriend or your boyfriend. Or maybe you're going to bring good news to your workplace. Fresh anointing to preach good news and to bring good news. That you would prophesy the true heart of God today. Maybe it's over the baseball team that you coach. Fresh anointing to bring good news. Yeah. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. A garment of praise, that we would be people of praise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Our Father, all of heaven roars your name. Sing loud. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touch you. Yeah, just sing the Spirit breakout. Spirit breakout. Spirit breakout. Holy Spirit. Break our walls down. Now just sing that one more time, just in regards to this. Holy Spirit, break out.
Spirit, break out. Break our walls down.
Break our walls down.
Do what only you can do.
Spirit, break out.
All of heaven released through you.
Heaven, come down.
King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high.
King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. Your glory shaking up the earth and sky.
Revival, we want to see your kingdom
here.
We want to see, we want to see your king. Sing it again, King.
King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. Your glory breaking earth and sky. Revival,
we want to see your kingdom.
Yeah. In Jesus' name, that is our prayer. We want to see your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, the truest expression of you. And as the Father sent Jesus, you send us. When we walk out of this room, in every room, in every place our feet take us, God, that we would be your expression in your heart, the true heart of the Father. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Yeah, let's give the Lord a shout, a praise.